like Marquette. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who's been talking?
Who's talking about you?
The Big East. You go against the best, you would get shut down real quick. FRHC.
You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast.
Today, episode 11 is brought to you by Clubhouse Promotions.
They design t-shirts.
They can do anything from your Greek life needs to your philanthropic needs to your intramural team or a company need.
They did our shirts for us, so you know they're good.
Email robin@clubhousepromo.com to get your shirts made today.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 11 of the Front Row Hoopcast, your show for everything Butler basketball. I'm your host, Ari Castle, joined by Kevin Schwartz and Marco Tomic. You know, we started off the week pretty great, getting our first Big East win against Marquette. And then Butler basketball returned to its stressful form with a loss to Providence on Tuesday.
Oh.
So there's plenty to talk about, gentlemen. Kevin, we went 1-1 this week. I almost forgot what it feels like to win a game. But what did you notice this week? Anything observant? Any comments? Anything?
I think all year long we've played at the level of our competition.
Yep.
And that's really frustrating because, you know, we played up to the level Marquette and came home with a win, but then we go on the road to Providence in a game where it kind of felt like we didn't really have any momentum going into it, and we should have, and we played down to what Providence has been playing all year, which is about average basketball, and we came home getting beat.
Dude, Providence just out-rebounded us, just made us look like a couple of children on the schoolyard. Off the glass. Tomic.
They outshot us. They out-rebounded us. They out-assisted us. I mean, they pretty much did a lot of things better than we did, and we were close in the game. I was really excited by the difference I saw in the Marquette game. I thought I finally saw some changes, and I was really excited about that. And then we just reverted back to our old self in this Providence game, and we got another loss.
You mentioned the changes. I have right here. It is time for something to change. We need to do something different. I am sick and tired of losing these games.
Oh.
I don't whether that means putting Travis in the starting lineup. Maybe it gives the team some extra energy. Maybe give Renee and Devontae some more minutes. Maybe we need a guard who can create or something. Something needs to change. Kevin, do you agree?
I agree that there needs to be some change, and I think we're starting to see it a little bit. Let me take you back to a play last night to end the first half. There were, 5 seconds left coming off when they shot a free throw. We advanced the ball past half court, took a timeout, and actually ran a play. No, we didn't get a basket, but it was actually a good look. That's the first time Coach Miller has done it all year. I really liked seeing that. It was something new. Maybe could be effective at the end of games instead of just running down the court and having Kellen throw up a one-hander from 35 feet away. I do think that at some point you need to look at your team and go, playing all of our players 45 minutes, you know, our 7-man rotation is not working. Put some of these other guys in so they can develop. Because other than Trebich, I don't think anybody's really improved over the course of this season. Kyle's definitely regressed from the free throw line, and Cam's gotten worse on offense.
You mentioned the 7-man rotation. I'm so glad you did that. This 7-man rotation is going to kill us. We cannot have 7 guys playing the whole game. And I know they won't admit it because that's the kind of guys they are, but Barlow and Kellen are tired. They get tired. And here's the thing. You can't take Barlow out of the game because Renee and Jackson defensively cannot hack it. You can't take Kellen out of the game because he's the only person on offense who can do anything. It's a catch-22. Yeah, can't take him out, but it sucks leaving them in.
But, I mean, is a tired Barlow who just keeps getting beat to the basket by these quickest guards because he's playing 40 minutes and they're playing like 28? I mean, maybe we just give him a shot. The only way we can Renee, Devontae, Jackson, I know they're getting shots now, but the only way to get better is by playing and getting the time. I mean, they're not going to learn or get any better sitting on the bench.
There are plenty of times during these games where our offense is stagnant or our defense gets poor. There's these stretches that we go through, which I think signifies, you know, that lets us know we still have a young team. At that point, take out some of the guys who are being, you know, ineffective. Kellen doesn't hit every single shot he takes. It feels like it sometimes. But there are stretches where he misses 3, 4, 5 in a row.
Yeah.
When he starts missing, give him a 3-minute breather. You can't possibly get down that much in that time unless it's the end of the game. let these other guys play. Who knows? Maybe they'll get confidence or make a couple good plays in a game to keep you in it. If things aren't working, make a change.
We did it in the Marquette game. We went took Kellen out a few times early in the first half. First time I've seen that in a while. And we went to Kyle early. We went to the post players early, other people try and help out scoring. And I thought that was awesome because you know what? Kellen was able and ready to close out a game later in the second half and in the overtime.
There's an interesting thing on the Butler recruiting boards that I found today, an interesting comment. They were mentioning that the seven-man rotation is not good. Someone said, you also have to think that that guys are going to start leaving if they don't get playing time. And someone commented, maybe that's the point. Is it possible that Brandon Miller is trying to get some players to leave by not playing them to open up some scholarships? It's an outrageous proposition, but I mean, it's something to discuss, isn't it?
That goes along the line with me with tanking. Anybody who plays the game, anybody who's a real fan of the game knows that is the most ridiculous thing you could possibly do as a team, as a fan base. I don't think that Coach Miller's got any intention of that. There's no way he wants his players to leave. I guarantee you, as a coach, as a motivator, as someone who's supposed to be teaching these young men to become better individuals, that he wants them to be as impactful as possible. I just don't frankly think they're good enough for the Big East, a lot of these guys. Who have we recruited? Who of these guys on our roster was recruited to be a Big East player?
That's true.
And that's no diss to their players, but coming into the A-10, Elijah could have had a much bigger impact. You know, Renee could have come in the game and been a lot more effective against the guards we saw in the A-10. This is five-star talent, and we've got 2-3 and, you know, 1-2-4 stars playing in these games. They can't compete on paper with this high-level talent, and we know the Butler way is built on overachieving, but I think that the level that they have to overachieve at just isn't necessarily competitive against the top half of the Big East.
Those three guys, like you said earlier, though, were in the games. We're competing every single game. I feel like they can compete, and we've always found a way to have 3-4-star guys compete against these upper echelon guys. I mean, from our Final Four runs to even competing in the A-10, and even now, I mean, we play teams tough. I mean, the only bad game we really had was Creighton. Creighton just puts a whooping on a couple teams, but I think that these guys can excel.
I have to disagree with that, though, because when you're playing A-10 talent every single day, and then you throw in a random game against an IU or a Syracuse or a Miami or whoever you play, another Marquette game, you can beat them because you plan for it and they haven't seen you. But when you play top-level competition, game after game after game, it is much more difficult to beat up on those teams regularly.
Here's what our offense is right now. The game plan is screen the ball for Kellen. If he's not there, okay, let's keep swinging the ball around until someone takes a bad shot. That is not good offense. We have no offense. It's screen for Kellen, and if he's not there, we're kind of in the dumps.
And the screens are terrible. I mean, I've seen little kids pick their nose better than the picks we set. They're just atrocious.
And then we throw it in the Kyle, and he has no right hand. Literally no right hand. And it's catching up with him. And he can't make a free throw. We gave him a standing ovation for making one free throw the other day. Why did we give him a standing ovation for going 2 of 10?
Because he put in work.
There are two major things that I have to bring up about the offense. Number one, Kellen is the only one, like you said, that actually knows how to run around a pick. We've got guys big enough to set picks. If you ever watch Elijah go around the screen, he doesn't cut it shoulder to shoulder. He gives it a space for the defender to come around and actually make a play on the ball or not let him get open up for a shot. And number two, we start the offense way too high. Oh. 35 feet from the basket's not going to get Kellen open.
We had the same problem
last year with Rodney Clark. And I remember we sat down with Rodney's dad and asked him what the issue was with the offense being stagnant at time, even with Rodney in there. And he goes, well, they're starting the offense from the Bulldog logo instead of the three-point line. If you create that cluster down low, you're going to get guys open at the three-point line. But when you start setting picks at the B in the Butler logo, then you're not going to have anybody open because you cannot take a reasonable shot from that far out.
That comes from the defenses, though. I mean, the defense is starting. They see Kellen immediately cross the floor, and that's where they're picking him up. And sometimes we're trying to set a pick up there, and he's getting double-teamed right after he passes midcourt. I mean, I completely agree. When you start it lower, maybe not have Kellen bring the ball up as much. I mean, because that's where he's getting trapped. He's trying to run around, get the ball handed off to him at half court.
And on the rebounding end, we're terrible. Kyle, 2.7 rebounds a game in the Big East. Mr. Double-Double, and 2.7 is not a double-double. That is so bad. He is so much more valuable to this team when he's rebounding. I would trade his 15 points for 8 rebounds a game. any day of the week. Rebound leads to points. I don't need your points, Kyle. I need your rebounds.
They combined last night in the Providence game for 5 rebounds.
And that's
they
bad.
They let Betts, who is an average player in the Big East at best, go for 17.
Seven offensive.
Seven of them offensive. What I started to notice, and this has been apparent to me over the last couple weeks, but it's really been apparent since we've gotten to Big East play, I don't think Cam actually knows how to fundamentally box out.
You're right. He just uses his length.
All his life, he's had athletic ability, and he's been taller than everybody else. That helps you get a lot of rebounds, even in the college game.
Yeah.
But when you've got guys your size or that are physically bigger than you, Batts is very athletic. Gardner is a very wide-bodied guy.
Yeah.
Cam doesn't really have a chance, and that's what's frustrating. And I think it's because he's lacking a little bit of strength. He's obviously scrawny compared to a lot of people.
A little bit of strength.
And number two, the fundamental part, you can get away with being a little bit smaller if you're fundamental, but he's not.
I don't really see anybody that fundamental on our team down there boxing out-wise. I mean, and it really hurts that we hedge really extremely hard because by the time they get back, sometimes they're out of place and the shot's up already and they're trying to fight for position. They don't even have time really to box out. They got to get quicker. The little things matter.
All right, gentlemen. Kevin, I see you have some stats with Schwo over there. They're not Butler stats, but is it only going to make me depressed to hear them?
It might, but this was so impressive that I feel like I have to share him because anything positive for the Big East right now is good for the conference in the future.
Let me hear it.
If you saw the Creighton-Villanova game, by the way, this game was held at Villanova. At Villanova. Creighton spanked them. They were up 41
points. All right,
give
me some stats.
I'm nervous for him.
Creighton's Ethan Raggi tied Kyle Korver's school record of 9 three-pointers in a game. He hit his first 7 as a team. Creighton hit their first 10 three-pointers to start off the game to give them their first 30 points and hit 21 three-pointers in total, which is a new Big East record. I'm not talking about the new conference. I'm talking about a record that has been broken, you know, long before with the Big East. The last team to hit 21 threes in the game was Louisville in 07 when they played Hartford, who's not really a good opponent. This is in conference play.
If you watch someone else's house.
On the road, if you watch this game, it was one of the most incredible offensive displays you're going to see in a long time, especially in the college game. And it came when Doug McDermott scored like a quiet 23. It was unbelievable, and it makes me think that this Creighton team has the ability to make a deep run in the tournament, especially if they're shooting well. So again, I know it's not Butler, but it was too incredible not to share. And on top of that, it bodes well for the Big East as a whole in the future if the programs are progressing and playing big-time basketball.
I give, my claps for Creighton.
That was a whooping.
Yeah, that was some nice three balls there. I wish Butler could do that.
I mean, he said they had 10 for like their first 30 points. We had 10 in our last two games combined.
Coming back from popular demand, because everyone loves it so much, is Tomich's tweets.
Tomich's tweets.
Marco, give me something to make me feel good about Butler basketball.
Today's tweets of the week goes out to Jared Grubbs. His tweet says, feels like there's nothing more useless than the first 35 minutes of a Butler basketball game. Couldn't agree with you more. I mean, we just find a way to blow 35 minutes worth of work in the last 5 because teams go on 11-2 runs on us consistently. We can't score in the last couple minutes of game. I mean, sometimes I just don't even want to watch the last 5 minutes because I know it's going to turn out bad. You want to turn off a bad movie sometimes.
Here's my next suggestion for Mr. Kellen Dunham. My friend, you are an elite shooter, no doubt about that.
However,
there is so much attention that is given to him when he is on the court that sometimes there are dudes wide open. He was driving and dishing against Providence, going to the lane and dumping it off to Kyler Cam, and that was working really, really well. There are times when he comes off the screen, look to pass first sometimes because there are dudes who are wide open. You could be averaging like 5 assists a game.
If they shoot the ball.
He's literally coming off. There's guys on him so tight. He could really, afford to pass it more.
I think that that applies to Kyle, too.
Oh, my God.
Kyle in the post is one of those guys, when he gets it, he is going it's up with it. Hole. Unless there's a double team that's there before he really has the time to think about it. And if he kicked it out to some of our better shooters on the outside, he could have 4 or 5 assists a game. That would be a huge impact.
He never passes.
We've talked all year about how important it is that Kyle and Kellen get theirs. They've been doing that. But if nobody else has the ability to step up, if we can't get about 20 points from, you know, off from everybody else the rest of the game, we've got no shot to win.
It's sad that we have to say that.
It is.
20's not a lot of points.
I mean, no, when we're working with 2 bench players, though, and Barlow's not known as an offensive threat. I mean, where's the offense coming from? That's why I really think Travis needs to be integrated into the game more. He's really the only one that's been showing up offensively recently.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the Marquette game, we got 8 from Fromm. We got 16 from Cam Woods.
Excellent.
Putting that together, winning formula every single time because, again, Kellen and Kyle got theirs. You look at last night's game. Kellen and Kyle, both pretty productive in the offensive end. Nobody else gave us anything. Combined between Shrabich and Fromm, we had 10 points. Where did anything else come from? I mean, it was bad.
All right. Let's look forward now. St. John's on Saturday. It is Stay Positive Night. That's why I'm rocking this shirt. It's for a good cause. Everyone needs to be there. It's going to be real cool. Kevin, St. John's and Butler are the 2 worst records in the Big East right now. Who wins this game, if anybody? Can anybody win this game?
Butler wins this game. Butler wins this game at home because I think Hinkle is such a unique arena that it doesn't matter who comes in, it's very tough to play. The depth's different, the way it's built's different, the way the court feels is different. I give us a chance against anybody at home, and I think St. John's this year in particular is specifically bad. So I do think that Butler's going to win
Marco,
this game.
Marco, do we win against St. John's?
We get the W. Really looking forward to hopefully having an emphatic W to get us back on track. I think a big win in a big way could really kind of get our gears going.
I thought Marquette was going to do that, though.
It could have been a letdown. We're playing also leaving the road. We have not been very good on the road lately.
I think we're too young and too inexperienced, both from a coaching and player standpoint, to win on the road. I could see us. I think we'll win at DePaul because losing to DePaul was a wake-up call for us. I think we have a shot to win at Seton Hall. But all these other environments are crazy. We're playing St. John's in the Garden. That's going to kill us. I just don't see us being able to get many road wins. It's just frustrating. But I think in the years to come, knowing that most of our players that are playing minutes, they're getting minutes right now, are younger, that they're going to be more effective on the road and be able to deal with more hostile environments.
Thank you for watching this 11th episode of the Front Row Hoopcast. We forgot to mention last week, we have a brand new website, frontrowhoopcast.com. Daily articles come out that are really good. A lot of Butler basketball info. You can find all of our episodes on there, so that's always awesome. Really cool, worth checking out for even more Butler information.
Easier access to our Hoopcast. Who doesn't want to watch
exactly.
those?
Exactly. So
we've got everything you could possibly need on that website, including recruiting and our Hoopcast and a little bit of a blog stuff, too.
Sorry, ladies. Me and Kevin's numbers are not on there.
Kevin Schwartz, Marco Tomich. I'm Ari Castle. You sucks. Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs. Win a game.